brought to you by Penguin.
My Name is Selma, by Selma von der Pera, read by Rachel Bavage. Prologue. 6th of September, 1944. To Gret Brinkhaus. Dear Gretchen, I'm in a cattle wagon with 12 people, in Fuft, probably headed for Sachsenhausen or Ravensbrück. You keep your spirits up. I'll do the same, although I do wish the end was in sight. I'll throw this note out of the train through a crack in the wall. Bye, my darling. Kisses. Marga. We were ordered to pack up our toothbrushes and other belongings and wait outside. It was clear we were to be taken somewhere else, but where? We didn't know. I thought it would be safer to stay at Camp Fuft than to go off into the unknown, so I decided to hide under a mattress. I let the other women go ahead and stayed behind in the barracks, but I wasn't quick enough. The SS guard, the Aufseherin, turned up while I was still only half hidden. She ordered me to hurry up, dragged me outside by my arm and pushed me into the final wagon. This slight delay worked to my advantage. There weren't many women inside that one yet. The others were packed, and the poor women inside, including my friends from the camp, spent the next 3 days travelling in terrible conditions. There were only 12 or so women in my wagon. I didn't know any of them. Some of them were younger, in their 20s, like me. They weren't political prisoners, as I was, but asocials, who'd done something the Germans didn't like. They realised I was different, educated and so on. Most of them turned out to be prostitutes who had been rounded up to be treated for sexually transmitted diseases. In the camp, they'd worked in the kitchen and had managed to sneak a big box of bread and sausage on board, as well as a barrel of soup. This was a huge stroke of luck. I knew the other wagons wouldn't have any such supplies. But, as they began to bicker over the food, some of them wanted to start on it straight away, I realised these women clearly didn't appreciate their good fortune. We assumed we were on our way to somewhere in Germany, but seeing as we didn't know how long the journey would take, I thought it would be sensible to ration the provisions. I put this to the other women cautiously, and luckily they listened. They asked me to hand out the food, and I was honoured to do so. I ladled the soup into portions and sliced the bread and sausage. They could see I was doing my best to give everyone an equal share. There was sufficient space for all of us to sit down on the floor of the wagon, and some of us had a bit of wall to lean against as well. There wasn't much conversation between us. The kitchen girls talked together a bit. They knew one another already. As time passed, they became a little friendlier towards me. They shared some supplies of toilet paper, for instance. And on that paper, I hastily scribbled a note to my good friend in Amsterdam, Gret Brinkhaus. I told her I was on a train that was probably heading for Germany. When we stopped at the first station, the last town in the Netherlands before we did indeed pass into Germany, I pushed the note through a gap between the wooden planks of the wagon's wall. Even though it was very unlikely that the message would ever reach her, it was worth a try. The journey seemed interminable, even for those of us in that privileged final wagon. I was feeling anxious, but there was also a sense that the war wouldn't last much longer. We knew that the Allies were already at the border. I knew that I couldn't do anything to change what was happening, so I tried not to worry about it too much. There was simply no point. We slept on the bare wooden floor of the wagon. It was uncomfortable, but it must have been far worse for my friends in the other wagons. With 50 or 60 people packed inside, they wouldn't even have been able to sit down, and they wouldn't have had any food. Although I didn't realise it at the time, I was lucky. After 3 days and 2 nights locked up in the wagons, we reached our destination.
Sample complete. Ready to continue?